Welcome. Glad that you're with us. Welcome to those watching online. Thanks for tuning in. And then welcome to those of you here in our South Kokomo campus here. So glad that you're here. We are wrapping up a series we've been in called When the Dust Settles. We've been talking about how you and I together as the church can make a lasting impact in a world turned upside down. Right? And so what we're talking about these last few weeks are imperative for those of you that call Crossroads home. This is our God-given mission. Those of you that are newer to Crossroads, maybe just checking us out, this is a good message to be a part of because you get to hear the heart of who we are as a church. But today I want to speak to what I feel like God is wanting to remind us and to clarify the vision of who we are as a church. And you don't need me to tell you about the world being turned upside down, right? All the challenges and changes that we're facing, government in transition and all the challenges that they face, our healthcare system maxed out, education system working overtime. My social media is full of images of Bernie Sanders and mittens. What's that about? Right? And then us as a church in the midst of a leadership transition, looking for the next senior pastor that God has for us to help lead us and cast a vision for us as a church. Right, so all of these things going on and the natural tendency, at least that I feel in my heart, I imagine you may feel as well, is to kind of lean back and just say, you know what, I'm going to wait till the dust settles. I'm going to see how this shakes out before I decide where I'm going to put my time and my energy and my resources. Right, that's a natural tendency. But as Luke reminded us last week at the beginning of his sermon and his message, that's not the inheritance that we have as Christians. Right? He reminded us of the early church and the Roman Empire when they faced a major plague and the Roman officials fled Rome for their own safety. It was the church, Christians, that came in to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a time of need. And that same idea, that same heart, and that same calling has marked the church all throughout history. There have been moments when in the midst of the chaos and the challenges and the changes, instead of leaning back, the church of Jesus has leaned in to be his hands and his feet. And that's why I believe that for us today, as Crossroads Community Church, the mission that God has given us is as important as it's ever been. That mission, to meet people where they are, to help them take their next step with Christ. That's what focuses everything we do. It's our marching orders. The reason it carries so much weight and power is because it reflects the great commission that Jesus gave his followers to go into the world and make disciples of the nations, to go into the world, to meet people where they are, to make disciples, to help them take their next step with Christ. And so that drives everything we do. And the heart behind these words, in some shape or form, has been the heart of this church for 175 years. Do you realize Crossroads turns 175 this year? 175 years. This church has kept this focus on the God-given mission. You know, that means, get this, that means that this church has kept the focus on its mission through the Civil War. That means that this church has kept a focus on its mission through the Spanish flu pandemic, through two world wars, through the Great Depression, through the turbulence of the late 60s, and through numerous economic booms and busts. This church has kept its mission and its focus for 175 years. Crossroads, are we going to let the challenges of today take our focus off of God's mission for us? Are we going to let the challenges of today take the focus off of God's mission for us? That's up to you to decide. You get to choose. I get to choose. Because the thing about this mission is it's lived out by each of us individually. And I just want to say, the future impact of this church is not dependent upon us finding the perfect senior pastor. I believe that God has somebody for us and somebody that's going to play a role in this body and help cast vision and help lead us. But the future impact of this church is not dependent upon finding the perfect senior pastor. It's dependent upon you and me, each of us collectively living out the mission that God has given us to meet people where they are, help them take their next step with Christ. And that's why we're here today, because the church has done that for 175 years. And I can rush through all those history points and make it seem kind of rosy, but there were incredible challenges, difficult decisions, sacrifices that the people of this church made to live into the calling that God has for them. And it's part of the reason that you and I are here today, because of how God used them in the past. And God has been faithful to this church, so faithful. And I trust he will continue to be, because God's going to lead us and guide us as we live out this mission. And so that's why we've been talking these 3 weeks, kind of the beginning of the year, to refocus us on the kind of church that God has called us to be, to live out that mission. So 2 weeks ago, Kevin talked about the first half of our mission, to meet people where they are, that we don't wait for people to come to us, we go to them. And the situations and the mess and the challenges of their life, we go to them. And then last week, Luke talked about how each of us have been placed by God in circles of relationship, that there is a one for us to reach, somebody to invest and invite in and to bring in and show the love of Christ to. And then today I'm going to talk about, how do you help them once you reach them? How do you help them take their next step with Christ? So next steps is this theme that's all throughout Scripture, just woven through the Old Testament, woven through the New Testament, this metaphor of people taking steps and people walking. Right, this metaphor of walking is actually used over and over again to talk about how one lives their life, how one interacts with God and lives out their faith. And so I just want to run through a few scriptures from different points in the Old Testament and New Testament that kind of illustrate this metaphor. Deuteronomy 11 says, show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways. So the way that we show love to our God is by taking next steps, walking in his way. That's the way we declare our love to him. Psalm 86, teach me your ways and I will walk in your truth. And the next one, Micah 6:8, walk humbly with your God. Ephesians, walk in love. And Galatians, walk by the Spirit. So it's step after step after step. The ancient Jews, New Testament believers alike talked about this relationship, how we live our life in terms of walking. Even Jesus, when he called the disciples, called the Peter and John and James to be the disciples, he gave this saying, he said, follow me. Now, this is a statement that's loaded with meaning, right? It fits into the context of the Jewish rabbinical movement, which was a part of what Jesus was. It's how he taught and led his disciples and trained them. And that phrase, follow me, wasn't just words of Jesus. That was a common invitation that a rabbi gave to people that he wanted to become his disciples. Follow me. And that wasn't just an invitation to say, hey, learn from my teachings. It was literally to walk after me, walk, go where I go, walk in my footsteps, but then more importantly, walk the way that I walk. So when Jesus gave that invitation to disciples to follow me, he's saying, hey, come with me, walk where I walk, take your next step right after me and walk the way that I walk, to imitate and to emulate their rabbi. And that's what the disciples did. And that invitation is the same invitation for you and me today, that call ourselves followers of Christ, to walk the way that Jesus walked, to imitate, to emulate, to let his teachings become part of us and to transform us in the way that we live out our life. So this idea of next steps, of walking, is all throughout Scripture, right? And you walk by taking step after step after step. So Crossroads, we must be a church of next steps. God is calling us to be a church of people who are continuously moving closer and closer to Christ, taking step after step, and then inviting others along and helping them take their next step, step after step after step. I'm going to share a little video, a proud dad moment for me. This is my son, my oldest son, when he learned how to take his first steps. Check this out. Oh, it's so good. It just fills me with joy every time I see it. Right, we were lucky enough, my wife captured it on video. Up to that point, he'd been pulling himself up and he'd been holding our fingers and kind of walking along. But this was the moment that he put it all together. He took a step and another step. And man, I just was like filled with joy, right? And the cool thing is that he's not stopped taking steps since. This was a little over 8 years ago. And so after that, he learned how to run and how to ride a bike and how to swim. And in just this winter over Christmas break, he learned how to ski for the first time. Right? We understand when it comes to physical growth and physical development that you take next steps. And man, every new step he takes, it fills me with joy. The same concept is true of our faith. I think Jesus wants us to take new steps and next steps closer and closer to him. And I think God, our Father, has the same joy when he sees us walking in obedience and taking a step. And he's just like, ah, that's my kid. Look at them taking a step. Ah, I think that same thing is true for him. We must be a people of next steps. But let me ask you this. What would have happened if after this video, my son never took another step in his life? What do you think my wife and I would have done? You better believe that we would have gotten him to a doctor, to specialists. We would have put him in environments to help figure out why, what's going on, and to help him take his next step, right? We do not tolerate a lack of physical growth. My question is, do we tolerate a lack of spiritual growth? We must be a church of next steps that take step after step after step closer to Jesus. That's the calling that God has given us as a church. So how do we do that? How do we help somebody take their next step with Christ? I just want to walk through just kind of three things. The first one is the most important. You can help somebody else take their next step with Christ by taking your own next step. Your own next step, right? It's a leadership principle. It's hard to lead somebody where you've not been yourself. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? He was calling back to that Jewish rabbi movement, the rabbinical movement, where the disciples would follow after and imitate and emulate their rabbi. And Paul's saying, look, I'm following after Jesus. I'm taking step after step after step following Jesus. And you come along with me. And if you come along and walk beside me, then I'm going to lead you to him. And you're gonna come to know Christ by following me, because that's where I'm headed. That's the kind of people that God is calling us to be. This is the kind of church that God is calling us to be. To take step after step after step closer to Jesus. And we all have a unique step to take. I don't care where you are in your faith journey. If you have just a faint interest in Jesus and trying to learn more, you have a next step to take. If you're the most seasoned saint here at Crossroads and the most spiritually mature person here, you still have a next step to take. That's the beauty of faith. We are people in progress, always growing closer and closer to God and never arriving, because God is so big, much bigger than we are. And there's always another step to take to grow closer and closer, closer and closer to him. Let me take a minute to just describe how I see next steps and how I see spiritual growth. You can view it in a different paradigm, that's fine, but for me, this is really helpful. I think of spiritual growth in terms of seasons, right? God created the world to experience seasons. He created our lives. We have seasons and stages in our life, and I think we have seasons and stages in our faith. And so this is how I kind of think about some things. Could be that you are in a spring season of your faith, a season of new growth. All these new things are going on in you, and for you, your next step in this season could be to say yes to Jesus and place your faith and trust in him for the very first time. For you, your next step in a spring season could be to get baptized. Your next step in a spring season could be to find a new ministry or a new environment to be a part of to help you understand these new things that God is doing in your life. But a spring season in your faith is a season of this new growth. Could be that you find yourself in a summer season in your faith. A season where all this growth is happening and you need nourishment. You need to feed yourself to sustain that growth. So for you in a summer season, a next step for you might be to start reading your Bible more consistently. Find a Bible study to be a part of or get a YouVersion reading plan, but be focused about trying to study your Bible and understand God's word so it can feed you and sustain you. A next step in a summer season could be to say, you know what, I'm going to be intentional about carving out times of prayer and just removing distractions and trying to be alone with God to let him speak to my heart and for me to lay my heart before him. Could be that in a summer season, you know, you're saying, I want to make church attendance a priority. I want to be a part of those kind of environments where I can learn more, I can be fed, I can be a part of those settings. But all those things to help you continue to grow in your faith. A summer season is just a season of a lot of growth, and you want to learn more and get that knowledge and be a part of that to help sustain that. Could be that you're in a harvest season of your faith, a season where you're ready to put action to the fruit that has developed in your faith. So a next step in a harvest season may be to begin serving. A next step in a harvest season may be to begin being generous and finding ways to give in other places that you can, bless places with your resources and your time and your energy. A next step in a harvest season may be to step into a position of leadership or start leading a small group or leading a Bible study and saying, you know what, God has done these things inside of me, and now I want to help other people take their next steps. I want to pour into other people. But it's a harvest season is about acting upon the fruit that's grown in your life. It could be that you're in a winter season of your faith, a season where there's not a whole lot going on the outside, because this is a season where God wants to work on the inside. A winter season is a season that God wants to do things inside of you that he can't maybe do in other seasons. You know, and I just want to acknowledge that sometimes when we think about next steps, we always think in terms of more, bigger, and better. But it could be in a winter season, your next step is to say no to something, to carve out some space that God can work in your heart. It could be that in a winter season, your next step is to actually deal with the grief that you've been trying to run from and distract yourself from, and God wants to bring healing to the loss that you've experienced. It could be in a winter season, your next step is to learn more about who you are and how God has created you and your identity in Christ, kind of this inward journey to say, okay, God, I need you to kind of bring some light into how you created me, because that impacts how I interact and influence with other people. Right? So a winter season could be a season of this inner work that God's doing things on the inside. But then the cool thing about seasons is they're cyclical, right? And you work through a winter season, God does stuff inside of you, and that leads you to a new season of new growth, which leads you to a season, a summer season, and then a harvest season. And you guys kind of cycle through all of that. And there, one season is not better than the other. They're all part of this journey that we're on as we're walking and taking step after step after step. And the reason that I walk through and I talk kind of the seasons is because I want you to know that your next step may not be the same next step as the person next to you. We all have a unique next step to take. It could be because you're in a different season, right? So the season that somebody is saying, man, God's telling me to get super involved and get really active. And at the same time, you're in a different season and you're saying, you know, I'm just sensing that God's asking me to step back and carve out some space for him to work in my heart. And it doesn't make one better or wrong. It's just you're in different stages, different seasons, and God's working in your life in different ways. But this is the one thing that is true. Every one of us have a next step to take. And when we fail to take that step, when we fail to seek that out and take that next step, we kind of stagnate. And we fail to be the people and to be the church that God has called us to be. I want to share a couple of stories of people here at Crossroads that have been taking next steps in this season. There are dozens of stories that I could have chosen. God's doing some cool things. People are taking steps in this season. But here's just a couple that I want to share. The first one is a guy named Graham Rowe. Graham and Susie Rowe, they attend our North Kokomo campus. Great couple. I had the opportunity to talk to Graham this last week, and he told me a little bit about his story. Amazing story of ways that God is working in him to help him take step after step. Graham talked about how a couple years ago, around 2019, that he had a series of injuries that left him addicted to painkillers. He needed those to function and to get through his day. He talked about how he had no interest, no desire, no awareness of God in his life, and his life was just kind of falling apart. He said, but there was something that he felt in his heart that he knew he needed to take his next step towards recovery. So he made the hard choice and went to the Home of Grace in Mississippi. There, they helped him get sober. And there he had an experience where he encountered Jesus for the first time. God doing amazing things in him. But then he talked about how he left that environment, that safe environment that helped him get sober, and he went back to the real world. And he began the hard journey of repairing the relationships that he had broken, of letting God put his life back together. He talked about how he felt so overwhelmed that the only thing he could do is just to focus on doing the next right thing. I said, Graham, that sounds a lot like our mission statement. Take your next step with Christ. Sometimes in our faith, we get so overwhelmed and we see how far short we are of where God wants us to be. And we're like, man, I got to do this, 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 and this, and I don't even know how to do all that. But God's calling you to take one step at a time. That's how you walk, one step at a time. Take your next step. And for Graham, it's doing the next right thing, doing the next right thing. And God worked in his life and brought healing. God helped heal his relationship with his girlfriend, Susie, at the time, brought to a place of healing to where they got married. That's this their wedding picture here. They got married just this last August. Graham and Susie started attending Crossroads North Kokomo. God is doing cool things in their life. They started serving, being a part of the ministries there. The cool thing at their wedding, they took the step of baptism. Both of them took the step of baptism at their wedding. What a cool, special moment for them. And God's just been working in their life to redeem and bring restoration and healing to him. And now they've been involved in leadership at Celebrate Recovery, helping at Crossroads Community Church, and actually Crossroads North Kokomo. And actually today, this morning, Graham led our crash course group, helping other people discover their next steps. Right? So it's just a cool story of redemption of a guy who's taking step after step after step, people pouring into him, helping him take his next steps, and then him realizing, hey, now it's my chance to help other people take their next steps. It's the kind of church that we're called to be, a church of next steps. Another couple I want to tell you a little bit about is Josh and Heather Pickering. Josh and Heather, great couple, attend here at South Kokomo. They have a great faith in Christ. They are super involved. They've been attending for 5 or 6 years, and they've taken a lot of steps here. They met each other here. They got married here. You can see in the picture their daughter Lydia, and this is so cool. Just yesterday, Heather gave birth to their second child, a boy, Zephaniah. So it's so soon. I don't have their picture up, but he's right there. So cool. I want to celebrate with them. Great family. I want to share their story because just earlier this fall, when we announced Chris's resignation and the leadership transition, a time of confusion and questions, a time when many people were kind of taking a step back, Josh and Heather, they took a step in. And they met with some of the staff, and they said, hey, what can we do? How can we help? What do you need in this season? And I so appreciate their heart, their willingness to do that. And those questions led to a meeting with me and them. And we were sitting in a room, and I was telling them about my heart to help help people take their next step in discipleship. And I asked them if they'd be willing to lead a discipleship group here at Crossroads. And they said no. I felt a little deflated. But as they began to describe their situation, they said, you know what, Josh works second shift, and then I'm getting ready to have this baby, and it's not the right time, and we don't feel led that that's something that God is calling us to do. And you know what, that was the right next step for them. As much as I wanted them to play that role, it wasn't what God wanted, and they understood that, and they took that step to say no. But here's the thing. When God leads you to say no, it's usually to say no for a season because there's a yes later on. And for Josh and Heather, just a couple weeks later, Heather called me and she said, you know, we don't have the time. It doesn't work with our stage of life to do a group, but I can pray. And I feel that God is laying on my heart that I need to be praying for Crossroads. So how can I help pray? How can I help you guys? What do you guys need prayer for? And that led to a conversation where she is now leading a Facebook group for prayer warriors here at Crossroads. So some of the prayer requests that come in, praying for our missionaries, praying for the leadership transition, she's leading those efforts from home because God had a next step in mind for her. And so I so appreciate their heart, their willingness to recognize that the next step in that moment was to say no, but then later that there is another next step for them to take because we need to be a church of people that take our next step. And that's how you help other people take their next step, is by taking your next step. So then when we're helping people take their next step, what's another way that we do that? It's my second point here. It's to be relational. Next steps are done relationally. Right? That's why we have a core value here at Crossroads, that we become more like Jesus together. There's something that happens when you're together, when there's a relationship and conversation. There's something powerful that happens that helps you take your next step. Even if your next step is something that you feel is more individual, you know, like, I need to just have more time to pray, or I need to read my Bible more, there's power in sharing that with other people. Maybe inviting them along with you in that process, but also just for encouragement. Say, you know what, I feel like God's calling me to do this, and I just want you to pray for me while I do that, and ask me how it's going, and cheer me along. Right? There's power that happens when those steps are taken relationally. And here's the thing, you cannot make anybody take their next step. You cannot make anybody grow in their faith, right? In the same way with my son, like, I couldn't make him walk. He just had to reach that point in his development where he's able to put everything together. But you know what I could do? I could walk with him. I could hold his hands and walk with him through that. That's what we're called to do as a church. You can't make anybody grow, but you can come alongside them and walk with them. You can walk with them through their struggles. You can walk with them through their joys. And then you can celebrate when they do take a step, and you can be the biggest cheerleader coming alongside them when they're ready and they're asking questions. You can point them in the right direction. You can point them to resources. You can say, you know what? I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to be a part of this group with you. I'm going to read through this Bible study with you. We take next steps together relationally. And then the third thing you can do to help somebody else take their next step is to point them to next step environments here at Crossroads. We've tried really hard to create environments that help people take their next step. And those are great settings. Of all the things you could be involved in, some of these settings are great to help you figure out what that is. A few that I want to share with you. One is our Next Steps Guide. This is just kind of a survey we put together a few years ago. Asks a series of questions, but it helps you. It's a tool and a prayerful time to kind of prayerfully work through these questions and say, okay, God, what could be my next step? It's something that I like to go through once a year or twice a year and just kind of say, all right, God, in this season, what's the next thing you want me to focus on? What's my one next step? And it's also a tool that helps you celebrate the steps you've taken, right? You read through and you remember, oh, last year that was something that God laid on my heart, and I took that step, and I'm a little further along. And then you can celebrate that and see God working in your life, and then it helps you identify what your next step could be. You can find those at ecrossroads.info, a part of our bulletin notes. There's a link to that. You can check that. I encourage you to use that in a time of prayer as a tool to help you identify what your next step, or go through with somebody else what their next step could be. Another great environment is Crash Course. Maybe you've heard of us talk about this. It's a four-week group setting. It's interactive, but it helps you learn who we are as a church, and it helps you connect and grow here at Crossroads. So we talk the stuff we've been talking in this series, our mission statement and who we are, our core values. We talk about how you can begin reading your Bible. How do you share your testimony? How do you figure out the gifts and abilities that you have and how you can use those here at Crossroads or out in the community to make a difference? We talk about how to get connected to a group. What does membership mean here at Crossroads? And just all these kind of things to help you figure out what your next step could be. Crash Course starts every month. A new round starts every month. And it goes on during the service. In fact, there's four people back there now at our South Kokomo location, and there's some people at North going through it today. So in 2 weeks, when the first Sunday of February comes, we'll be starting a new round of Crash Course. If you want to figure out what your next step is, that's a great environment, and you can connect with other people. And just want to say, for those of you watching online, maybe you feel a little disconnected, we have Crash Course Online, where you go through a Zoom call, you get to connect and meet with other people, walk through the same content, learn what your next step is. You can sign up for in-person or online Crash Course on our website. And then the third next step environment I'm excited about is groups. And you heard Kevin in announcements talk about we're starting a new series, a five-week series next week, and we're launching 20-some different groups, both in-person and online, that'll be going through and using the content, the sermon content, and some extra content to take that message a little further. And those will be the kind of the content that we work through in these groups. So if you are wanting to get connected, this is a season where you feel a little disconnected, this is a time to lean in, to join a group. We have them online if you don't want to be in person. We have them here on our campus, in homes, around the community, downtown Kokomo, a lot of different groups, different days of the week, different times. Hop on our website to see which group might be a fit for you. But this is a time to lean in because we become more like Jesus together, and groups are the best setting for that to happen. A lot of great things happens on a weekend service. You know, great worship, we learn together. But relational connection really isn't very high on the list for a Sunday morning. Right? You spend most of the time staring in the back of somebody's head, to be honest. And you can know whether or not they wash behind their ears, but you don't really know much else about them. And that's where groups, you're in a circle, you're face-to-face, you get to share each other's stories, you get to encourage one another. Groups play a vital role in helping you become more like Jesus, to take your next step. So I'd encourage you to be praying about, be thinking about, is this a season for you to take the step and be a part of groups? Just these five-week groups, take a five-week commitment to be a part of that. And then also, if you're a part of a group that's been meeting or maybe meeting sporadically in this season, I'd encourage you that this is a season to reconnect as a group and to go through every week, go through the content of this series that we're doing so we can all work through that together. But groups play that vital role in that. But we are called to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ. Step after step after step. So as we wrap up, I want to go back to this series title, the When the Dust Settles. And I want to reframe it just a little bit. Think about it in a different way. 200 years before Jesus, the Jewish rabbinical movement started. And as I said earlier, that was part of how Jesus trained and taught the disciples through this rabbinical movement. It happened, that would have been the intertestamental period. So there's 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New Testament. That's when this rabbinical system started. And one of the early Jewish rabbis is quoted as giving this command to people that were becoming disciples of a rabbi. He said this. He said, "Powder yourself in the dust of your rabbi's feet. Powder yourself in the dust of your rabbi's feet." Kind of a weird thing. What is he getting at here? In a poetic way, he is saying, may you follow your rabbi so closely. May you take step after step where he steps, that as he walks along the dusty roads of Judea, the dust that he kicks up with each step floats and settles upon you because you are walking so closely behind him. And so this became a blessing that they would give to disciples of rabbis. They would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi's feet. And so Crossroads, that is my prayer for us. This idea of when the dust settles, that we get past all the chaos and the challenges and the changes, despite all of that, that we would be a people so focused on our rabbi, so focused on Jesus, that we take step after step after step closer to him, so that when the dust settles, the dust that settles upon us is the dust that Jesus kicks up because we are taking step after step after step. And then when the world looks at us, they will not see us. They will not see Crossroads Community Church, but they will see Jesus because we've taken step after step closer to him. That is my prayer for us in this season. Each of us have a responsibility to grow closer to Christ, to take our next step so that we can be transformed more like he wants us to be. And in this body, the church, the bride of Christ, when the community looks at us, they see Jesus. And we are his hands and his feet in a time of need. As we meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ, I invite you into that mission with me in this church. Excited to see what God has in store for us in the future. Let's pray. Father, I just want to come before you and say thank you for your love and your grace for us. The fact that you even are able to work inside of us and empower us to take steps closer to you amazes me. And we recognize that's you at work. You're the one that draws us to you. You are the one that grows us. So God, just help us be obedient to that and follow your lead. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit Help us be a people that understand what our next step is and then empower us to take it. Give us the courage to take that step to become more like you, to take a step closer to you. And then let us be a people of grace and mercy and love that invites those around us, the people you've placed in our life, where we can meet them where they are, and then we can bring them along on this wonderful journey and help them encounter your love and your goodness and the hope that comes from you, Jesus. And may it all be for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.